that second verse, Ms. Doris, if you'd get him started, then drop off. Look at the words of that second verse. Now listen to the words of the second verse. Now get off your phones, all right? Get all the other distractions out of the way. Pay attention to the words that they sing, the second verse. All right, get him started, Ms. Doris, and drop off. Come on, all right, help me out.
My Savior pardoned me from guilt and shame, I know. I'll trust His saving grace while traveling here below. I know He'll welcome me at heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord,
would to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want us to understand the significance of this passage that I want to share with you this morning, because it's going to tie right into the message. And I want you to understand who you are and whose you are. When you know Jesus Christ your Savior, you belong to God for eternity. All right. He never abandons you. He never leaves you. He never writes you off. He never says you're no good. But I want to show you the significance of who you are in the eyes of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, starting in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse number 12. It says this: For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In other words, your fingers belong to your whole body. Your eyeball belongs to your whole body. All right, you can't separate it. All right, if it's part of the body, it's just as important as everything else. For by one Spirit are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Holy Spirit draws you to God, and you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you become part of the body. All right? You belong to the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? Verse number 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Just because they say they're not part of it doesn't make it true. If the whole body, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Everybody's got their place. Everybody's got their task. Everybody's got their desire. Everybody's got a purpose. Verse number 18, but now has God set the members, every one of them, in one body, as it has pleased Him. God puts it all together. God saves those in purposely. He saves them, and He gives them a purpose. He gives them a reason. Some of them are ears, some are eyes, some are toes, some are hair follicles that disappear sometimes. But God gives every part of the body for a purpose, for a reason. You don't just exist to be existing. God's got a purpose for you. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, you become part of the body. Now look what it says now. Verse number 18. But God has set the members, every one of them in a body, as has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, they're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. In other words, we all belong. There's nobody that's less and there's nobody that's more. There's nobody that's more important and there's nobody who's less important. We are all equal in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm driving at a point here. Because a lot of us like to live our lives thinking that we're an island of our own selves. We like to think that we don't affect other people. We like to think that we have no, we are all part of the body. How many of you ever stubbed your big toe? Do you notice that when you stub your big toe, your whole body suffers? All right? If there's one member of your body that's hurting, it affects everybody else. If there's one body part in this congregation, it should affect everybody else. If you say amen, it'll go quicker. Okay, get this in. Which we think to be less honorable, and to those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together. He's put it together, having given much more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Underline that. They should have the same care one for another. We should care about each other equally. We should not care about this group more. We should not care about this group less. We should care for each other equally. Isn't that what it says? There should be no schism. It should not be the choir versus those who should be in the choir. It should not be the right hand of the congregation versus those on the left hand of the congregation or those up in the balcony looking at their phones instead of paying attention. It should not be a schism. Okay? It ought to all be equal. It ought to be together. All right? Verse number 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We should not rejoice if somebody is suffering, saying, well, they're getting what they deserve. Instead, it ought to be a time of prayer and support and love. And if one person is being honored, we all, as a body of Christ, ought to rejoice and say, praise God. Instead of being jealous and saying, they didn't deserve that. No. Are y'all getting what I'm putting down? Y'all understanding me? Y'all understand me up here, choir? Amen. This is going to be very key. Very key. All right. Verse number 27. Now you are the body of Christ and your members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, and after that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Of course not. Have all the gifts of healing? Do speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet so show I unto you a more excellent way. He says, listen, not everybody can do what everybody else does. But everybody can do something because God has placed you in the body purposely. Now here's the key. And I want you choir to understand this. Up there in the balcony, I want you to understand this. Down here in the floor, I want you to understand this. If you're hurting and you're suffering and you're struggling or you're successful, you ought to be able to share it with everybody else. It ought not to be this mindset, well, I'm not as important as somebody else, like, no, or I can deal with this. No, when you hurt, everybody else hurts. But the problem is, the world lies to us and tells us, well, you got this issue, so you got to deal with it yourself. Nobody else cares. That is a stinking lie. If Matt hurts, I ought to hurt with him. If Danny is struggling, I ought to struggle with him and come alongside him and not kick him in the ribs. Amen, Danny? Amen to that? If Jeff is having a problem in his life, I should not abandon him. I should love him and help him. You say, Brother Brian, where are you getting at? What are you doing? You're going to find out here in a few minutes. We're going to look at more scripture, but I want you to drive this into your head. You belong one to another. You're never alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have put us together. Lord, by your divine wisdom and discernment and understanding, you have put the body of Christ together. You have called us. You have saved us. You have given us the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that. You've done it on purpose. So, Father, help us to rejoice in that, but also, Father, help us to apply that and to realize and understand that we're not walking this life on our own. Instead, we're walking it with each other, and more importantly, we're walking it with you. We need you today. Lord, I dare to say that there's some precious souls in this very room that are here that do not have that assurance of salvation. They're not part of the body. Lord, they're trusting themselves or they're trusting some other modes or methods. I'm praying that today they would surrender to you and they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they would become part of the body. God, none of us have anything to brag on in ourselves. But we have everything to brag on in Christ Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. And I thank you what you're going to do today. You are our only hope. For it's in Christ Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, come on forward. We'll take up our offering this morning. As the guys get ready to come up and take a physical offering, I'd like to ask anybody that has an offering of praise this morning. Anybody have an offering of praise that they want to just lift up and praise Jesus Christ for? Anybody else like that? All right. All right, Miss Birchfield. Amen. 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 Miss Birchfield, the part of the body that I think you are is part of the vocal cords. Amen. Amen. Praising the Lord with your voice. Praise God. Amen. Somebody else want to just praise the Lord this morning? An offering of praise. Anybody at all? Okay. All right. Nobody's got anything to say thank you, God, for. How about, I've got one for you. Praise God, I'm not what I was, but praise God, I'm not what I'm going to be yet either. He's still working on me. I praise God for that. Amen? Amen. All right, guys, come on up. Then we'll take our physical offering this morning. Amen. Brother Jerry, would you please pray for this part of the offering? Thank you.
Everybody, if you'll stand and join us this morning in your church hymnals, 272. If you'd like a book, song is Hallelujah, We Shall Rise. Amen. Hallelujah, we shall rise. In the resurrection morning, when the trump of God shall sound, we shall rise, we shall rise. Then the saints will come rejoicing, and no tears will e'er be found. We shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah, amen. We shall rise in the resurrection morning, when this prison bars are broken. We shall rise, we shall rise. Y'all fellowship around, and the choir is going to come down. The resurrection morning, what a meeting it will be. We shall rise, we shall rise. When our fathers and our mothers and our loved ones we shall see, we shall rise, we shall rise. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Amen, we shall rise. When death's prison bars are broken, we shall rise, we shall rise. One more time through. One more time through. If you'll remain standing, we're going to sing one more song together this morning. Church hymnal this morning, number 286, the Glory Land Way this morning. No children's church this morning. Miss Sandy still has not made it back. But while we're standing, everybody's standing up and looking pretty. So everybody, if we'll take a 180 and wave at the camera up at the top, and all those people that can't be with us this morning, amen.
Amen.
The Glory Land Way. Sing with me this morning. The Glory Land Way. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saved today. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Glory land way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clear. For I'm in the glory land way. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen.
had a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment, oh how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. Be in the valley with me in the sun, with me in the storm. Yeah. We need a turn. It needs to be a turn.
We have a little technical issue. Let's try it again.
Can we turn it up? Closer than a brother, there is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength, and he is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Testify, hallelujah, we are not alone, God really loves us, God really loves us, hallelujah, oh praise my soul. His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needed, forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough. Oh, and this is our hope. The cross it has spoken. Death is no more. Christ is Lord, and this is our hope. Yeah, hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Savior, he is. What a father. What a friend, what a Savior He is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is.
Thank you, Lily. Thank you. I'm glad God really loves us in spite of us this morning. Brother Joe, if you put that for me, I'd appreciate it. I got a quiz for you this morning. All right? Let's see how intelligent you are as a driver this morning. All right? Show me the first one, Brother Joe. These are our warning lights. All right? Very first one. If all of those are on your car, you're in a lot of trouble right now. All right? What's that one? What is that warning light right there? What? It's showing here, but it's not showing there. There we go. There it comes. Low tire pressure. Okay, that's a low tire pressure. All right, number two. How many of you recognize that one? Means you got no oil in your car. Check your oil. Number three. Check your engine. How many of you are running around with your engine right now, with the car right now with this shining? Okay, next one. That's the engine. All right. It means your engine's running hot. Okay. There should be one more. Is that it, Joe? Should be one more. All right. What does that one mean? It means traction. Your traction control in your car is off. Okay. Now you say, well, Brother Brian, what's that got to do with anything? What's my warning lights on my car got to do with anything in my life? Well, as a driver, you can choose to take a piece of black tape and tape it over those warning lights, and you don't see it anymore. And if you don't see the warning light anymore, guess what? It's not there. But the problem is, it's still there because you haven't taken care of the problem. God puts warning lights in our lives. And the warning lights come from the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have trusted Him as your Savior, you are part of the body, and God has the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and He blinks those warning lights in our lives. When we're getting distant from Him, when we're participating in things we should not be, when we're getting ready to get into something we shouldn't get into, the warning lights start blinking, the Holy Spirit starts convicting us, starts showing us these things. We can choose either, number one, to put a black piece of tape over it and say, well, if I don't see it, it's not there. Or we can listen to the warning lights and say, I need to deal with that before I run my car into the ditch. All right, exactly right. Let me show you some what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 5 about the warning light. So go to Proverbs chapter number 5. Usually we have children's church, but Miss Andy is still feeling sick and she's still under the weather, so I'm glad the children are in here. But we're going to talk about a few things this morning that you're going to have to explain to your children. And it's a good opportunity for you to do that. Proverbs chapter number 5. We're going to start in verse number 1. What happens is if you choose to ignore the warning lights. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. He says, pay attention, heads up, listen to what I've got to tell you. Now he says it as a loving father. He doesn't say it as an angry father. He doesn't say it as a father trying to prove a point. He says it as somebody who cares about the listeners. He says it in love because He cares about what the future holds for them. As your pastor, as a preacher, I love people and I love you, and I'm sharing these things with you this morning out of my love for you. Not out of anger, not out of judgment, not out of anything else, but the fact that I care about your soul and I care about your life and I care about your family. That's where I'm coming from in this morning. So I don't want you thinking I'm singling you out. I don't want you thinking that I'm judging you in any way, shape, or form. But I want to share God's word with you. That's what Solomon's mindset is here. Verse number 2. He says, "You pay attention that thou mayest regard the discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." The strange woman is a prostitute. But also you can also say that the strange woman is those who would entice you to sin. Anything that's going to draw you into something that's opposite of what God has for you. A strange woman, a prostitute, someone who's going to draw you away from God. "Her end is bitter as wormwood, and it's sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." If you regard what the world does, if you regard and take in the influence of the wickedness of this world, it's going to end in disaster. That's what Solomon is trying to get us to understand. This doesn't apply just to the children. It doesn't apply just to the men. It doesn't apply just to the women. It doesn't apply just to me. It applies to everybody. But here's the good news. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit should convict us when these things begin to take place in our life. There's not a single one of us that's not tempted. There's not a single one of us that don't have to deal with this junk on a daily basis. So don't think that there's something wrong with you when you're tempted. Don't think that there's something wrong that God hates you and He's trying to get and trying to hurt you. He's trying to help us to deal with these temptations. All right, look at the next verse. He says, "Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that you cannot know them." She's sneaky. "Hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house." He says, listen, she is slick, she is sneaky, she does everything she can to try to cajole you, try to convince you, try to make you understand that it's going to be okay. Wrong. Her paths are the paths to hell. That's what Solomon is trying to get us to understand. Regardless of your age, regardless of your position in life, regardless of your color, she will lead you down the wrong path. That's what Solomon is trying to get us to understand. Now you say, "Now, Brother Brian, how do I know when these lights are going on? How do I know when these warning lights are taking place?" You know, because the Holy Spirit convicts you. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, He is not going to allow you to go down these paths without telling you, without speaking to you, without trying to get you to understand. If the alcohol and the pornography and the drugs and the stealing and the gossiping and all these things, you say, "Well, Brother Brian, where's a list in the Bible that tells me of things?" Well, I'm glad you asked that. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'll show you real quick. Go to 1 Corinthians real quick. Just kind of gives us a little bit of a list of things, examples that we need to watch out for. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Just turn with me if you would real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, Paul is saying, listen, here's the things that the people of Israel got themselves involved in that you ought not to get yourselves involved in. Now, get a Bible. There's a Bible in front of you in the pew. Open your Bibles and follow along so you understand that I'm not making these things up. This is not something that I've written, but it's something that God has written for us to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 6. Paul writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Let us learn from what they did. Don't be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Let me just stop there just for a second. 23,000 people died in one day from committing fornication. You know what fornication is? It's sex outside of marriage. Can you imagine what would happen if 23,000 people in Bryson City, Swain County, died from having sex outside of marriage? We say, first off, there's not 23,000 people in Swain County. But could you imagine the proportion of that in our county if people who knew Jesus Christ their Savior and they were committing sex outside of marriage, if they died like that? What would that do? My goodness. Can you imagine what would happen in our major cities? Could you imagine what would, if God worked that way? If God just said 23,000 people, dead. How many of you are glad God doesn't work that way right now? It's a warning light. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit says no. The Holy Spirit says no. The Holy Spirit says no. And it's flashing, and it's flashing. But some of us, and I'm included at times in my past, some of us take a little black piece of tape and we put it over that light because we don't see it no more, so it doesn't exist. May I tell you, just because you do that does not mean it's not there. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you about something, it means stop. Amen? But he doesn't stop there. Look what else he says here. He says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed of serpents. They were being ungrateful towards God. They were griping and complaining. Oh, we're tired of the manna, and we're tired of this, and we're tired of that. We wish we could go back to what we had. And God said, you bunch of babies. You ungrateful bunch of babies. But then look what it says. Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. God, you're not good enough no more. God, you hate us. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't sit there and think, well, it won't happen to me. Don't sit there and think, well, I'm the exception. That won't take place. God won't judge me. God won't allow. No. If you belong to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, God provides the warning lights. And he says, stop. It's enough. The engine's about to blow. Your marriage is about to be wrecked. Your relationship with your parents is about to go downhill. Whatever the situation is, the warning lights are flashing. Now, I know I've made some of you angry already this morning. But believe me, I'm not doing it out of judgment. I'm not doing it out of anything but love for you. I'm trying to get you to understand. Could you imagine having a car without warning lights? Could you imagine driving down the highway and all of a sudden your engine just gives out and you're thinking, well, I wish somebody would have told me. There's a warning light for it. How many of you are glad for warning lights? Well, not right now I'm not, Brother Brian, because the Holy Spirit's hammering me. Good. Praise God for that. That means you belong to Him. You belong to Him if He's telling you and talking to you. Go back to Proverbs chapter 5 real quick. So, ignoring these lights. This is what happens in a person's life if they ignore the warning lights that the Holy Spirit gives to us. All right? Number one, shame comes. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 9. If you ignore the warning lights, number one, shame comes. He says, remove thy way far from her and come not to the door of her house. lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. You lose your honor. You lose your reputation. You lose everything. It takes a long time to build your reputation. It takes a long time for me to build my reputation as a pastor, and I can lose it like that. The warning lights come on, and I decide to ignore the warning light and get myself involved in this or get myself involved in that. The warning light comes on. I can lose my honor. So can you. All right, look at the second thing that can happen. You could lose your wealth. Look at verse number 10. He says, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. You get yourself caught up into something, and you can watch all the modern movies, and it's even on the modern news that people get involved in things they ought not to be involved in, and all of a sudden everything they've built up over the years is gone. A divorce happens, or the government steps in, or you got to pay a fine, or whatever it is. That indiscretion, that choice, that decision to ignore the warning lights can lead to a loss of wealth. All right? It can happen. And I'm not going to ask for testimonies, but it can happen. Some of you have probably experienced this in your life. You lose your reputation. You lose your wealth. Look at the third thing that can happen if you ignore these lights. You can lose your health. Look at verse number 11. And they mourn at the last when the flesh and thy body are consumed. And they say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. And I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. Their body is destroyed. The warning lights come on. Don't consume that beverage. Don't get yourself involved with that drug. Don't get involved with the pornography. Don't go sleeping around and doing all these different things. Don't do this because it's going to destroy you in the end. Well, I can just do it one time and it'll be okay. I could just do this one little joint and it'll be fine. I can take this one little sip and it's not a problem. I can get involved in this one relationship and it's okay, it's not a big deal. May I tell you, you can, but what's the likelihood of it stopping? Sin will always lead you where you don't want to go. And it does not happen, boom, it's gradual. And the warning lights are still flashing. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, you have better options. And the warning lights are still flashing. It could be gossip. It can be whatever. Brothers and sisters, Solomon is simply saying, this is what happens if you ignore the wealth or ignore the warning lights. Lose your reputation, lose your wealth, and you can lose your health. They said, Brother Brian, I love you, Mr. Sunshine. You made me feel so good. But you know what? I would not be the right kind of pastor if I didn't give you the solutions. We don't need to concentrate on the negative, and it's negative. It'll destroy you, but you don't have to go there. All right? So let me give you some ways to deal with the warning lights. When the warning light starts flashing, let me give you some ways to deal with it in the right way. Number one, realize that we have a way of escape. Or understand, I'm sorry, number one, realize that you're weak. Realize that you're weak. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Realize that you're weak. Understand that you can't handle it. Some people can handle being around alcohol or drugs or pornography or gossip or cheating or stealing. Some people can handle being away around that and not be affected by it. But realize you're a human being and you're tempted in all these things. Look at Proverbs 16:18. Look what it says here. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Admit that you're weak.
Admit that you can't do it. Admit that you can't handle it. It's okay to admit that. I admit it. There's things that I ought not to be around, that I'm weak in. And so guess what? I don't want to be around them. I don't have to be around them. I don't choose to be around them. Brothers and sisters, admit that you're weak. When the flashing lights start flashing, admit that there's a problem. Because if you don't, you got a fall coming. But you know what? Admitting that you're weak means also that you admit that you need help. Remember how we read just a little while ago about we're all members of one body? If the big toe gets stubbed, the brain knows about it and the brain sends things to help that big toe. If you're weak in an area, get help. Ask somebody to put some gauze around the wound and help heal it and heal you and help you. Well, if I admit that I'm weak, everybody's going to turn against me. No! If we're a true body of Christ, man, we'll surround you and we'll love you and we'll help you. Don't let pride destroy you. So number one, admit that you're weak. Number two, God always gives a way of escape. Always. If you belong to God and the Holy Spirit's giving you those warning lights, He always gives you a way of escape. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look what it says there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, if you can't get there, just write it down. You can read it later on. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13. Paul writes these words. He says, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Means everybody deals with these things. You're not the only one dealing with this temptation. You're not the only one that has a problem with this. You're not the only one dealing with hatred or anger or gossiping or whatever it is. You're not the only one that deals with that. He says, "But God is faithful." Praise the Lord, God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. When the temptation comes, God shows up. The Holy Spirit says, "Hey, here's the way out." You get with a group of people who are drinking or whatever it is, and you get in the middle of that group, and the Holy Spirit starts showing their warning lights. He always says, "Hey, there's an escape. Get away from them. Go to someone who's not going to be doing that. Go to someone who loves you and really cares about you." He always provides a way of escape. Every single time. We say, "Brother Brian, I got in the middle of sin and there was no escape." Well, either number one, you don't belong to God, or number two, you ignored the escape. If a fire breaks out right here in the middle of this room, there's ways of escape. Three doors. Some of us would literally come up to the fire and start warming our hands. "No, not me. I'm out that door. Or that door, that door." God always provides a way of escape to His children. Every single time. Without exception. Look at the third thing. When the warning lights start flashing, the third thing to do is ask God to forgive you if you fall into that temptation. Because we understand and realize that we live in the flesh, and we understand and realize that we're going to sin. And I don't like it, I hate it, I don't have to do it, but you know what? I give in, just like you do. And the warning lights go off, and I ignore them, and I allow myself to go ahead and get sucked into whatever it is. I don't get out of the escape, and I involve myself. Now what do I do? Well, I'm in the middle of it. I might as well just go ahead and just live in it. No. I can get forgiven. I can be restored to what God intended. 1 John 1:9. Look at 1 John 1:9 with me. It says, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, it means I agree with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Don't just sit in the middle of it. Don't sit there and eat the garbage. Get out of it and ask God to forgive and restore you. And He will do that. See, God doesn't leave us alone. He always provides. 1 John 1:9 tells us, ask God to forgive you. But also, if you know it's right there, get out! Get away from it! Don't do like Philip Wilson and said, the devil made me do it. It ain't the devil that makes you do it, it's you that makes you do it. Don't blame it on nobody but you. And this side over here said, oh, that's awful weak. This side right here said, that's a lot better. Number four. I left y'all alone because I know y'all are just fine. Walk with others. Walk with others. You understand that you're weak. God provides a way of escape. He gives you forgiveness of sins. But walk with others. Remember I read to you and we looked at, it said that we're all members of one body. Admit that you need someone to walk with you. Admit it. Say, hey, I'm struggling right here. Hey, you know what? I'm having a difficulty with this. And I really need someone to walk with me. I need some help. God provides that. If you belong to the body of Christ, just because you're a pinky, it doesn't mean that the left elbow doesn't care. Walk with them. Just because you're a right foot, it doesn't mean that the left knee don't care. Ouch. Walk with them. You belong to each other. You're not made to live by yourself. Look at Ecclesiastes with me real quick. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the very next book. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let me show you. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse number 9. We'll start there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse number 9 says, two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they can have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a three-fold cord is not quickly broken. Walk with a fellow believer. Call for help. Seek help. Make a phone call. Make a visit. Do something. You're not by yourself. The devil isolates. He makes you feel like you're a failure. He makes you feel like there's something wrong with you, that nobody loves you. He makes you feel that God hates you, and He tries to separate you. God says, that's not what I intended. Walk with someone. We say, Brother Brian, it's so hard for me to admit it because I'll be judged. People will gossip about me, and people... Let me tell you this. Yes, there are some split-tongue Christians out there. I acknowledge that fact. Don't go be sharing your dirty laundry with just every person. Don't get on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Don't do it. Don't share your junk out there. find somebody who loves Jesus Christ and loves you. Get yourself with them. Talk to them. You say, Brother Brian, I don't know where to find that kind of person. You're in a perfect place right now. There are people in this room who will walk with you and love you and not judge you. Well, how do I know? I'm one. Many of you can attest to that. I've walked with you and I continue to walk with you. Your Sunday school teachers is another one. You say, Brother Brian, I don't know. You come talk to me and I'll be glad to point you in the right direction with someone who can walk with you. Devil will lie to you. The Holy Spirit will say, no, here's the way to do it. Are the warning lights going on right now? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about something that you know? How do you deal with it? You admit that you're weak? Admit it. God, I can't do it. Ask God to forgive you. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. Ask him to show you a way to get out of it. The temptation's there, but ask him to show you that way of escape. And then number three, walk with somebody. Walk with somebody. You're not alone. God loves you. Are the warning lights going? If they are, thank you, God, the warning lights are on. That means your engine's still running. Acknowledge it. Repent. Turn back to God. Because if not, I've shown you the results. But if you do get right, hallelujah. You remember the Apostle Peter before? That night, Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter said, no way, I'm going to die with you. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, tonight, Peter, three times you're going to deny me. Peter said, no way. Oh, he did admit. He didn't. That's not, he broke the first one. Number two, he was by himself when it all happened. Number three, when the temptation came, he didn't leave that fire. So that night, three times, he said, I don't know him. I don't know that Jew. I don't know him. And it says he cursed the last time. So what did Jesus do? He dumped him, didn't he? Jesus said, get away from me, Peter. I hate you. I'll never use you again. No. Jesus restored him and then used him in a great and mighty way in the book of Acts. He preached one of the greatest sermons. God used him to do that. 3,000 people of different languages got saved that day. And then he continued to use him. And by the way, who do you think God used to write 1 and 2 Peter? The very same man who blew it that night. So if you've messed up and you're in a bad way, you turn back to God and God ain't done with you. Hallelujah. We're all in the same boat. Let's keep paddling with each other. With each other. And all God's people said,
amen.
And those in the balcony, there you go. Let's all stand together this morning. It's okay to admit, heads bowed and eyes closed, it's okay to admit that you got a problem. It's okay to admit it and say, I need help. It's okay. It's okay to admit that there's a problem. Get it right with God today. Take care of that warning light, not by putting a piece of tape over it, but by talking to God and ask God to help you this morning. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts, you know our needs. Lord, you're the only one that can take care of them. I'm praying, God, that this morning somebody would heed the warning lights. that they would admit that they need help and they would seek help, and let us walk with them. Please, God, you're our only hope. You're my only hope, God. Thank you for not giving up on me, and I thank you for not giving up on these precious folks here this morning. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Doris is going to play. If you need to come pray, I'll pray with you if you want. If you want to talk afterwards, we can talk. But pay attention to the warning lights.